Welcome to the Rugby League Outsiders, Craig. Today we're here at the varsity game between Oxford and Cambridge. Both selected aside, I'm Cambridge.
You're 100% Oxford today.
Mate, this is first time we've been to anything like this. You know, can you expect from it today?
I didn't know what to expect, but I tell you what I can feel. I can feel a real buzz around the crowd. I can feel a buzz between the two teams. The coaches are even backwards and forwards, and they're nervous. It obviously means a great deal. There's a lot of rivalry here. We love rivalry. We love fucking derbies and that kind of stuff, and this is oozing it. I'm really excited for this. I'm buzzing off the crowd. I'd almost say this was a better atmosphere than freaking Super League game last night. I'd always say that. What about you?
I've never felt so out of a rugby league comfort zone as what I am today. Blazers and wellies, and this feels so far away from the rugby league heartlands as you can get for rugby league. But it's absolutely brilliant. Can't wait to see the game unfold. It looks like there's going to be some real sort of rivalry in the crowd and a bit of banter going on. Who do you think's going to come out on top?
Well, I know Cambridge have got like a bit of a running streak going, and they've definitely got some size to them. It's quite heavy ground. The lighter lads at Oxford, that might suit them a little bit better. I don't know how to call it, but I'm back in Oxford all the way. So come on the Dart Blues.
Well, I'm back in Cambridge, and they've already won the earlier fixture today. So let's see how it goes, and let's enjoy the show.
Okay, we're here with Tom James, who's the head coach of the Oxford University side, just to get a little bit of a background about this game and what it means to the players and the coaching staff ahead of the game. So, Tom, just talk to me a little bit about, first of all, the rivalry between yourselves and the Cambridge University. I don't know if it's a personal thing with the players or all that,
Well, it goes back centuries. The rugby league has been at Oxford since 1976.
Cambridge University has got 2.4 million
varsity
followers.
Game is like the most important thing for any person playing, any athletic person at Oxford. So we've got like a couple of lads who've played other blue sports and got their blue, and it's a badge of honour to get it, and it's a badge of honour to put one over Cambridge. And I think this sport lends itself to the that rivalry because it's so, so much contrition, so much collision and a lot of power, and they love it. They absolutely love it.
So you use the term the blue there. I mean, what does that mean? Is that like a cap, is it?
Or? Yeah. So if you play, there are a number of sports at Oxford which you get a full blue, and it means you've represented the your team at varsity. So the boatmen will get a blue. The rugby union lads will get a blue. And there's some sports that are half blue. We're lucky. We managed to become a full blue about 15 years ago, which is a really attractive thing for players to get. It's something that they can talk to people about when they're networking. I've got Oxford blue. The rugby league one is just as valuable. And, it's seen as something that you've committed to a side and committed to training. We get certain resources at this amazing facility, historical facility, so we get access to a lot of S&C. They train early Monday mornings, early Tuesday mornings and all that sort of stuff. So it's a real sort of athletic pathway.
And just rugby league in general, I mean, how important is it that rugby league is a part of such big institutes within the UK?
Massive. We are a minority sport, whether we like that or not, but the product is fantastic, and the only way to sell that product is by making sure that we're in places where the game isn't thriving, and making sure that we are, hopefully you'll see today, producing a good version of it.
I see there's some crazy haircuts kicking about. What is the story? Is that something you could talk about?
Absolutely. So about sort of 10 or 12 years ago, we had a few lads in the team that were sort of real characters, and they created a really, really positive culture within the club, and we've worked hard to maintain that. We call it the one club mentality, where we all train together, we all go out together. There's never any division at training, like first team, second team, we all mix in and play, and then occasionally might break out, but it's never separate. So there's a big culture around this sort of one club. And then one of the boys decided to cut his hair in the most freaky way he could, and it's called a schlid. And so last night they all went schlidding.
The band.
Over the years we've had some pretty crazy ones. I think one of my favourites was a lad created a pair of headphones like round his head. Just a lot of the mums have a go at me going, what have you done? I'm like, it's not me, they do it.
It's yeah. completely voluntary then?
Absolutely voluntary. Some of them have like job interviews, they're leaving, so they go, I can't do that. So you might notice people with dyed hair probably will be able to pass that back off. But yeah, it's just about creating a fun culture and a fun attitude to rugby league.
I can imagine that culture is really important because, let's face it, you talk about a club, but it's almost, in my eyes, a transient team. You've got people coming and going in a cycle. So, you know, what other things do you do to keep that culture running through the teams as they kind of, or the players as they come and move through the university?
So, you know, these lads, their priority is academia. You know, they're the top of our academic institutions globally, never mind in the UK. So prioritising the culture around, you know, that camaraderie, the team, the sort of thing about having fun but within the game. So a lot of my coaching is game-based and it's about creating fun at training. We do a really cool pre-season where I live in Cheltenham, and they all come over and we do like two nights, and they all come back to my house and have fish and chips and all that. So it's about creating a family, and that spreads around the site, and we get a lot of lads who, you know, the vast majority of those lads have never played rugby league. You're talking maybe two who've played it before they came here.
I'd be really interested to know, within your team, the one or two players that we should kind of keep an eye out for that you think is going to make a difference today.
So our pivot Jack is from Barrow. He's played. He's getting on. He's doing a PhD, so he's in his mid to late 20s now. He's a very good player. He'll run the show in terms of just being someone who will control our structure and control how we play. He'll be one to look out for. And then our captain Milo, who is playing 13 today. You will see him on the ball a lot. Just working so hard because this means so much to him. So those two, I think, will be hopefully stand out. The rest, very consistent level of sort of ability, and they should be smashing into them.
And if you could just come up with one word that it would represent the driving factor behind the team wanting to win today, what would that word be?
Mates, that's why. At the end of it, we have a really good sort of club dinner after, and we get some really big speakers in. We've had lucky enough to have people like Kevin Tinfield and Rob Burrow come down. The same will go today. So for them, it's mates. The sitting around that table, looking at people who... You'll see a lot of old boys are all here. They come to the dinner, and it's that thing that in 10 years they'll still be chatting to each other about. Do you remember that day? It was a great day.
Brilliant, James Ian. All the best for the game.
Thank you.
Right, I'm here with Rob Ashton, who's the head coach of the Cambridge side. Rob, we're sort of like approaching kickoff now. The crowd's building up. There's a great atmosphere. What does it mean to, you know, to play for Cambridge in such a big occasion?
Right, so you got like 150 years worth of history, haven't you, between sporting history between the two clubs over various sports. When I came in for 5-6 years ago, I didn't quite understand it. You know, I recognised it was going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
I didn't get it until I took part in that first game, and it hit me, and I don't even go to the university. So these boys from day one in pre-season, all they're really focused on talking about is winning this match. So when I came in, we had about an 8-year losing streak, and you know, I had to try and figure out a way of turning things around. It took me 4 years, and credit to the captains and the presidents who I worked with over that time to try and regenerate a culture at the club, which attracted the players in and made sure people were training and stuff. It means everything to these boys, especially so. I think it's been 17 years since we've won it back to back. Obviously, we won it last year in Cambridge, so we're looking at trying to shake that monkey. And break that 17-year streak. The twos are just one down the road as well. I don't actually know the last time we did a double. You know, Oxford have traditionally been quite dominant in these fixtures. So, there's a lot riding on today, even though we're going in as the reigning champs.
And how has your season gone this year, sort of building up to this fixture?
Yeah, it's good. We got off to a winning start against Oxford, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then we haven't seen them all season. So they've been doing their thing quietly, chipping away, and we've been doing our thing. we hoped to push for the league, but we lost to a strong Exeter side, and fair play to them, because it was about a 6-hour trip to us and a 6-hour trip home for an 80-minute game. So that was the only game we lost in the league. We got knocked out of the cup couple of weeks ago. So those are the two games that we've lost all season. But other than that, you know, they're chomping at the bit. They've been in training in the rain for the past 2-3 weeks, you know, trying to find pitches. When our groundsman has said the pitches are closed, they've been going to other grounds to try and find pitches, or they've been going for runs around Cambridge, you know, just doing something, yeah. Clocking the miles up. And you know, they're a dedicated bunch.
And for anybody who's doesn't know too much about the two institutions, obviously the Oxford lads are all sporting crazy haircuts today. I think it's a bit of a tradition that's been going around. Are there any traditions linked directly with Cambridge that people don't necessarily know about?
Not that I'm aware of. Not quite as fervently followed as that one. Yeah, it's got a name, the Schlids.
The Schlids, yeah.
Which is abbreviated for something we probably can't say, but... yeah, that's been a feature of the varsity match since I've been involved as well. So it's always something that's interesting to look at. I guess it's our job to compound how silly they look and do it on the pitch as well. So
yeah, I suppose it's great having a daft haircut if you're winning.
If you're
losing, it's a little.
I think the tradition is they've got to keep it for a week as well. So imagine losing and having to wear that for the next week.
Yeah, Rob, is there anything else I should have asked you?
No, look, I think we got some experienced boys in there. I think we've got 5 or 6 returning blues from last year. We've got a load of new boys in who joined us this year who've done amazingly well. Some big powerful forwards. I keep an eye out for Max in the middle. Owen Hanford's a handful out on the edges. And then Panos is our leader down the middle. You know, he's been a stalwart for 2-3 years since he joined the club.
Right, we'll keep a lookout for all those players then. We're approaching kickoff now. It's about 15 minutes away from kickoff. I can't really wait to see how it all kicks off on the field, mate. Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, buddy, thank you.
Okay, we're here with John Horbat, who's the chairman of the... Help me get it right.
Yeah, they've given me the title of chairman of Oxford University Rugby League Club.
And you've been involved for quite a few years, so you must have seen this... I suppose you saw this when... I mean, it's always been a minority sport in these areas, but have you seen growth in rugby league here at the Oxford Club?
At the university, yeah, and also more broadly with the summer conference kicking off. So I joined, came up to the university in 1996 and came straight to play rugby league then. And from then, I haven't stopped being a part of it. So I played rugby league for the university for 7 years. And then became a coach for about another 15 years. And in the last few years, I've been a little bit more distant and had a sort of oversight role to make sure that the students don't make any major mistakes. They've got to learn from the little mistakes, but I don't want to ruin the club.
So just talk to me about the club here. I mean, you know, we stood outside, we've got a very traditional rugby stand, you know, the pitch, there's little buildings and what have you around. So, you know, what if you're a visitor, what would you not know about this place?
Well, this isn't the rugby league ground. This is Oxford University rugby football ground. We're right next to the track where Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. It's a historic location. It's where the rugby union club for the university has been based forever. We've got a very good relationship with them, and we have done for a number of years. As a result of that, we ask them and they give us permission to use their pitch for some of our major matches. And this being our single biggest game every year, whenever we're hosting the varsity match every other year, we play it here.
And has there been any special preparation ahead of the game, or is it just business as usual?
It's hard to describe quite how significant a varsity match is. You can draw parallels with sort of, you know, Wigan Saints and those sorts of local derby fixtures. But this isn't a local derby, and it's across every single sport in the university. So next to us at the athletics track, there's a big sports complex there. This weekend and next weekend, they're playing varsity matches in every minor sport, from taekwondo and judo through to, you know, basketball and badminton. So it's a full suite. So the sense of rivalry between Oxford and Cambridge, it is a unique rivalry, and you know, I'm of course going to be biased because, you know, this is what I've been, you know, living and breathing for, you know, 30 years. But it is different to a local derby where you often have just the one sport. You know, we have a local derby. We play Oxford Brookes. We did so last weekend. We had a cracking game. The boys played really well and won. Yeah, that's our local derby. But that's a second tier game compared to the Varsity Match for us.
So what do you think of the, you know, if you think about the team and right now, what's your strengths for this year? What are you going to be sort of relying on to hopefully get the win today?
Well, I am not going to be the best person to ask because I know you've just spoken to, or you've had a conversation with Tom James, who's the coach. He watches them week in, week out, training sessions. I have an oversight role, so I don't get to see them play very much. Traditionally, as a club, we play good rugby league. We're not rugby union players trying to play rugby league. We try and really teach them all of the basics, all of the foundational elements, and build on those. We don't bring in rugby union players at the last minute. So these guys have been playing for two full terms, a minimum. Some of them have been playing for 3 or 4 years. So they are rugby league players. They just happen to be down south in Oxford. And you know, hopefully the quality of the rugby does reflect that we've really tried to teach them to be rugby league players, not convert them from rugby union.
John, good luck today. Hope it all goes well, and good luck in the game, and hopefully catch up with you later on.
Right, just stay with the Oxford captain. Listen, the crowd is absolutely electric at the minute. How are you boys going? How's the warm-up gone? Are you ready for the game?
Almost been class. Very few, no drop balls even. Everyone's fucking buzzing for it. Everyone's very excited. We're going to have them.
You think you're going to do it today?
We're going to have them. Home soil, regain the trophy. That's it.
Right, cheers for your time, mate.
Right, half-time. It's been an absolute belter. And I didn't realise until we started doing the interviews that Carl has been schlidding for the last 12 months.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had so many different schlids. He fits right in here at Oxford.
I thought you were going for the Friar Tuck look. That's
yeah, I could pull that one off. Right, OK, Carl, tale of the first half. If you could summarise it, what would you say?
It's been all Oxford, I think. First 10 minutes, they just sussed each other out. I mean, they were absolutely chopping at each other, weren't they? We had some absolutely massive hits, and they were all really low tackles, really. Just knees, really, shoulders into hips, really big tackles. So they found each other out for the first sort of 10 minutes. It was a bit of back and forth, a few drop balls from high kicks, and then Oxford had a sort of period, sort of 10, 12 minutes where they just were camped in the Cambridge sort of red zone, and they couldn't break them down. The Cambridge defence held out, but Oxford were clearly on top. And then against the run of play, Cambridge scored first. They had sort of five minutes of sort of pressure on the Oxford line. They broke through first, and then Oxford came back really strong with two really decent tries. First one was worked from left to right. They created the overlap in the corner, and they also scored one under the sticks. So Oxford rightly in front at half time, but it's very close and there's not much in it.
So just like a general word on the atmosphere here, it was a Super League game last night, you know what I mean? We're here today. You know, what would you say about the atmosphere?
Mate, it's crazy. I've never experienced a rugby league atmosphere like this. Like compared to the Super League game at last night, there's 400 or 500 people here making a way more noise than 5,000 did last night. It's a different type of atmosphere to what I've experienced before. I don't know what your sort of thoughts on that are.
Yeah, it's just this, like we said at the start, these two institutes going at it, and obviously the core nucleus of fans is Oxford, because we're here at Oxford now, and you know, so they're making the most noise, but Cambridge are giving it back at them. It's just great atmosphere and it's a great sort of occasion to be present at.
It's a rivalry, isn't it? That's all you can say. It's just this really big rivalry. That probably me and you would never really fully understand unless we went to one of these universities, which we never will. I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait to see what happens in the second half. Can't wait to see if Cambridge can pull it back and silence the crowd.
Any, we'll cut this out if you haven't, but any standout players, Carl, that you want to sort of make a mention of?
The Oxford fullback has been elusive, real handful. Every time he gets the ball, he seems to be a yard or two quicker than anybody else. He's my sort of man of the match at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned him to Tom James, and I sort of said, you know, he's a quality player. No, and I think it was Jamie Jones, and he was like, yeah, he's come on really well, which suggests to me that he's not like a native rugby league player, and you know, he's had some like learning to do to be able to play in this game today, and he's really shining, definitely punching above his weight.
Yeah, he seems like an absolute natural. When he's hitting the line, he's picking out the gaps, and he's entering the attacking line when he sees the shapes correct. So, yeah, great player and one to really keep an eye on, I think.
And where do Cambridge go from here then, Carl?
I think they need to establish themselves down the middle a little bit more and get a bit of a roll on. Quicker play the balls, I think, could help both sides. I think that's the sort of rugby league enthusiast looking in would probably say the play the balls are a little bit slow. Any team that can sort of get on their hands and knees, get that quick roll on, will really benefit, I think. Right, I'm here with Elliot Stockdale from the Cambridge side. We're just on the Cambridge bench. Elliot, the sort of 4 points down, how do you think they can improve in the second half?
Yeah, I just think like the Oxford side have been much more aggressive in the first half. They've been winning the arm wrestle, and I think like the Cambridge side just need to come out front up. You know, Cambridge have the bigger pack. I think they just need to, you know, be a bit more aggressive and, you know, put that into place in the second half and then, you know, build from there, really.
And atmosphere here, a bit electric. Cambridge lads giving it back.
Yeah. No, it's always tough when you come to Waverley Road. I don't think we've won here yet, so, you know, hopefully that changes today. But, yeah, it's always a tough place to come. But we travel in numbers whenever we come, so it's always a good day out.
Okay, mate, well, enjoy the rest of the second half. Cheers.
Thank you very much, everybody, for coming down today. It's been a absolutely brilliant game. We've seen over the last 4 or 5 years, Rob's done a fantastic job in Cambridge, just upping the quality year on year. Since we've been playing between Oxford and Cambridge, the home team hasn't yet lost. So there's a home team advantage here, which means that Cambridge were the holders last year, won an incredibly tight match last year. Oxford have managed to do the same this year. So we're very lucky to have with us Tom Coyd and Joe Coyd, head coach and most captain player in England Wheelchair Rugby League, and they've kindly offered to in case you hadn't heard, our world champions, should add that bit, have very kindly offered to award the trophy to the winning team. Before that happens, I'm afraid the Man of the Match trophy has not yet been made, found, one of the two. I'm not sure if it's just not in the right place or if it doesn't yet exist, but we'll cover that later. The Man of the Match is traditionally chosen by the players and the coach of the losing team, and their choice this year is Oxford number one, Tom.
Right, I'm here with Tom Milton, Rugby League Outsiders, Varsity, Man of the Match. Great game, you know. How do you think you won the game?
Well, I mean, we knew it was going to be tough coming into it. We obviously played Cambridge in Bucks at the start of the season, a game which I wasn't actually part of, and took a tough loss there. So we knew it was going to be a tough one, but we came in after Derby Day last week knowing we could be really physical, knowing we could take them up front, and we knew that once we got it in the backs in the second half, we knew we'd have them for pace and for skill. It was fantastic from the boys. Unbelievable game. So grateful to be a part of this year. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, I thought you had a real attacking structure. I think that's probably the difference between the two sides. Something you've been working on all week?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've tried really hard all season to implement like our shape really, really well. And it started to piece together so nicely at the end of the season. And yeah, some of those moves really paid dividends in the end.
And yeah. You said to me just before we started recording that you're predominantly a rugby union player. How are you enjoying the league season?
Oh, well, yeah, no, I mean, I'd never played league before coming to uni, so I'm a second year, so this is my second ever year of league. And I think it's such a good way to play the game, so fast-paced, and I think it really, really suits me because, you know, I just enjoy running around, so...
Yeah, I was going to say it really suited your game. You seem to find the gaps really easily. Off the back of some really good attacking shape.
Took a pretty horrible hit down the middle at one point in the first half. Bloke like double my size. Yeah, I was looking at him. I was not a fan of that.
Sorry, mate.
Did not want any part of that. But yeah, nice. It's a bit hectic for me, to be honest, but I'm loving it at uni. So much fun. The boys are fucking fantastic.
Right, and celebrations tonight, you know.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. We've got our club dinner, so all of our awards are getting handed out for all across the season. And, yeah, big night somewhere in Oxford. It's going to be a fantastic one. I don't think feelings get better than this.
Okay, mate. Well, congratulations on the Man of the Match performance and congratulations
on
the win.
Thank you very, very much, mate.
Right, okay. I'm here with Joe and Tom Coyd, Rugby League wheelchair royalty. Guys, first of all, did you get the invite on the dress code? Because I wasn't told about it.
I just heard Oxford and Cambridge and thought I better put a jacket on. So, seems like we fit in. No one spotted us as Rugby League outsiders. So
No, not like me and Chris. Guys, what are you doing at the game today?
Oxford University have invited us to be guests of honour at their dinner. They've got an annual club dinner that happens after varsity every year, and we're the speakers for after the dinner. So we've come down. We said we wanted to soak up the match, not just turn up for the dinner and do the easy thing. And we're rugby league fans, yep. You know, in every shape of the word. So it's been worthwhile. It's been a tight match. Probably more than 500 screaming fans here. What more could you want?
Yeah. Joe, what do you think? What did you actually think of the game, mate?
Tough, really tough. I didn't think I expected them to whack each other as much as they did. They didn't hold back. I know it's a big rivalry, but rugby league's not very known around here. And they really went for it. And some really nice rugby league as well. You can tell they've obviously been working hard and they know what they're doing. So great game to watch and a close score. So.
Yeah, I think I wasn't expecting it to be so intense, but one thing I've taken away from today is I think something could be learnt from the tackling skills that took place here. There's a lot of very low tackles. Penalties were really low. I think a lot can be learnt from that. So, rest of the evening then, what have you got planned? Is it dinner and then are you out in Oxford or...?
We're going with the flow, to be honest. We know what time dinner is. We know what time we're roughly going to be speaking. And then we're hoping that we don't get dragged into an Oxford nightclub. Joe's not brought his ID for that reason. Yeah. So it almost rules us out. Really, so. But we definitely want to get involved and enjoy ourselves and get soaked up in Oxford Rugby League, because, you know, we're from Medway. We know what it's like to be outside of the heartlands and to be trying to cultivate your own rugby league culture. So there'll be, like you said, there's loads of things we can learn on and off the field from the way that they do things around here. And they're just great people. Like, all the people we've met so far have been really nice to interact with. So, yeah, looking forward to a nice evening.
Well, it's great to see you both down here and, enjoy the rest of the night, lads. Cheers. Right, Craig, end of the day. Sun's just going down. Oxford have come out on top, 14 points to 6. Just describe me what you're going to take away from today.
Do you know, all I've got now is a thirst for varsity rugby league. You know, it has been an exceptional sort of experience, really, just to be part of it. And it was funny. I started off and I was like, yeah, a bit of rivalry. This is brilliant. Yeah. It got really tasty from the crowd. Like, they just pulled no punches, to the point where, you know, only posh people can get away with that. Because anybody else, they would just pick up a crowbar or something and they'd be battering them to death, you know what I mean? So, but, they, you know, it was incredibly intense, the rivalry, as was the game. The game naturally built to this massive crescendo where everybody was like, you know, how's this going to finish? You know, what's going to do? Oxford just need to keep Cambridge out. Cambridge, if they can just score again and get the tails up. And it was just a brilliant finish to what's been an awesome day.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best way to sign off the episode. And, what a great day.